All right, let's take our Bibles. We're going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 to 7. I'm going to talk a little bit today about some secrets to lasting obedience. This passage of Scripture is about King Hezekiah. Hands up, how many of you have heard of King Hezekiah? One of the all-time great kings of Judah. And here's a bit of a testimony. Some of us give testimonies to what God has done in our lives. And, oh, thank you, Tracy. Here's a testimony written about Hezekiah for all of eternity to look at. And here's what it says. Verse 1. Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, began to rule over Judah in the third year of King Hoshea's reign in Israel. He was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years, and his mother was Abiha, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. He removed the pagan shrines, smashed the sacred pillars, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke up the bronze serpent that Moses had made, because the people of Israel had been offering sacrifices to it. And the bronze serpent was called Nehushtan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before or after his time. Think about that for a minute. Who is considered the greatest king of Israel? David, right? And yet here the testimony says, he was the greatest king of all. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed all the commands the Lord had given Moses. So the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah was successful in everything that he did. Amazing testimony. Amazing. And so, as I read that, I thought, what is the secret to this kind of obedience to the Lord? Because we know as we read God's Word that God is asking us to be obedient to Him, not because we have to, but because we what? We want to. And why do we want to? Because we love Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Not because I'm making you, but because you want to. That's love. What's the secret to that? We wrestle with that question all the time. Paul talked about it in Romans chapter 7. He says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. Listen to this now, this verse 17. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And so I've discovered this life principle that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Verse 21. I love God's law with all of my heart, but there's another power in me that is at war with my mind. And this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. What a miserable creature I am. Who's going to free me from this life that's dominated by sin and death? And here's one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. Thank God. The answer is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Can I hear one amen to that? Amen. Peter knew this. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter knew where to find that sweet release and victory. Peter knew that the secret to surrendered obedience is found in the very person and the presence of Jesus Christ, who the Bible says is the author and perfecter of our faith. And that's why Jesus said, come and follow me. Come and follow me. I have some things I can teach you about obedience to God. But here's the thing. Even though he was the Son of God, Hebrews says, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Let me read that again. Even though Jesus was the Son of God, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered, which is exactly where we need to go. You know, I used to think that it was easy for Jesus to be obedient because he's God. Easy to be obedient, right? What does this verse tell us? Not so much. That Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, learned obedience to his Father through the things that he suffered. And so Christ's faith was no easy pie in the sky kind of faith. Christ's faith was very practical. It was very rubber hits the road stuff. It was a very hard fought faith if you've ever read through the Gospels. It was discovered in the trenches of temptation as he battled it out with the forces of darkness. And so the Bible very correctly says he learned obedience through the things that he had to suffer. So, you know, when you think about that verse and you're tempted to ask the Lord, why, Lord, do I always have to go through so many hard things in my life? Remember Hebrews 5, verse 8. Even though he was the Son of God, he learned obedience through what? What he suffered. That's just a general principle for obedience. And Jesus modeled that for us. So this morning I want us to study the Lord a little bit and think about this act of love which he calls obedience. And I want us to look at the three most important things that Jesus did while he was training in the school of obedience. And as we think about this, I want you to think about your own education, whether it was in high school or getting your GED after high school or in college, and the training that you have been through, whether it's for a trade or whatever it is. We get trained. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for this testimony of King Hezekiah. What a hard thing it would be to be a king. How many temptations would come our way? Even David fell to many temptations. Hezekiah was a man after your heart, and he obeyed you completely. And I pray, Lord, that as we look at your son Jesus, who was perfect in his obedience, as hard as it was even for him to do, that we would learn the secrets to this obedience, that we might be pleasing to you, and that we might have that testimony like King Hezekiah had, that because of this, he was successful in everything he did. God, we long for that in our lives. Help us to really understand the secrets. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 Kings 18 tells us that King Hezekiah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed all the commands the Lord had given Moses. I'm actually walking in front of that, aren't I? I'll move this over a little bit. So the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. Now, I don't know about you, but this is the kind of life that I want to live. I want my life to be pleasing to the Lord, and I want to be successful in everything that I do that is in the Lord's will. Are you the same? Isn't that the longing of your heart? As a child of God, if the Holy Spirit is within you, he places that longing in you. I want to please the Lord. So let's take a few minutes to study Jesus, because he did it well. Here's the first thing I learned as I began to look at this subject. The secret of finding obedience to God is found in the character and the beauty of the person who teaches it. The person who teaches it. Let me show you what I mean. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. The Son can't do anything by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And so Jesus was enchanted by the character and the love of his heavenly Father. And that, folks, is the secret to successful obedience to God. Keeping our eyes fixed on that perfect teacher who is enchanting to us. Jesus. We don't follow army sergeants and school teachers and pastors and parents because we love their rules and regulations, do we? I want to see a show of hands to everyone who loves rules and regulations. Wow. A couple of you. I hate them. It's in my nature. And I don't follow rules and regulations that people bring down into my life unless something's happening. And that is that I love the character of the person who's passing them down. We follow rules, regulations, and those things that school teachers, pastors, parents tell us because we love their character. We love them. And so we do it. Isn't that right? Isn't it their character? Isn't it their influence, their love, their enthusiasm that inspire us to be just like them? And so Jesus pressed in on God every single day. He was so in love with Him that He thirsted for His presence. And day after day after day, whether He was working, whether He was teaching, walking, sitting by the fire, Jesus always pressed in on the character and the presence of His Heavenly Father. If you read the Gospels through, you see that rhythm all the time in Jesus' life, constantly pressing in on His Father. And this is exactly what He invites us to experience with Him. Come and follow Me, because if the Son of God decides to set you free, you will be what? Free. But you got to follow Me. You have to follow Me. So the first secret to learning obedience to God is studying this perfect teacher, Jesus. Secondly, I discovered that true obedience is found in studying the textbook that the Father places in front of us. The Bible says that God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How can a young person stay pure and holy, the Bible asks. Anybody know the answer to that? I suppose it's up here, right? No? By what? And taking that word and hiding it in my heart. That's how you do it. I've hidden Your word in my heart, that I might not sin against You. Obeying God's word. I think one of the greatest weaknesses of the post-postmodern church today is that we don't really study God's word much anymore. There aren't that many Christians, and I do some church hopping too, and I always have my eyes open to see how many of us are bringing our Bibles with us to church. There aren't a lot of us that do that anymore. I look around this room and I see several of you with Bibles, and it makes me smile. A lot of you have them on here, right? Yeah. And that's what you're reading right now, right? Yeah. Okay. A lot of Christians today don't study God's Word much anymore. About 15% of parishioners are involved in Bible studies. And even less than that are memorizing it like in the good old days. The psalmist said, I've hidden Your word in my heart so that I might not sin against You. Let me say that again. I have hidden Your word in my heart so that I might not sin against You. In today's world, we could easily change that to read, I have ignored Your word from my heart, and so I'm constantly and with great frustration sinning against You. You see, Jesus was a student of the Word of God. Jesus needed it. Jesus used it. And "it is written" was one of His favorite phrases. He knew God's word, and He could back it up. Man, could He back it up. How many times did the scribes and Pharisees and the devil try to trip Him up, only to have egg all over their face by the time it was all done? I love reading those ones. Jesus loved those Pharisees, but boy, did he love poking the bear sometimes. They thought they were so smart in God's word. Jesus always, always outfoxed them. That comes from hiding God's word in our heart as we study it and memorize it and live it. For he faced all of the same testings and temptations that you and I do, the Bible says. And yet he didn't sin. Why? Because he was in, number one, constant communion with his heavenly Father. And number two, because he had a constant commitment to the holy word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now let me just add this before we look at the last one. In case you think I'm starting to teach that we need to be more legalistic about this, because I'm not. Jesus also said, don't be mistaken, you diligently search the scriptures because you think that you'll find eternal life in them, but these are the very scriptures that testify about me. In other words, guys, there is no real power in the word of God without me. I am the Word. And you study God's Word and you're hoping to get connected with Him through His Word. As a Christian, that's the way to go if the Holy Spirit is residing in you. If not, it ends up in dry, empty religion. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. God's Word is powerful only when it has been written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. His word only comes to life when we've received the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Have you made that decision yet? Have you lost sight of that decision? And you need to say, Lord, I need you back. Just studying the Bible isn't going to really cut it. And I love studying God's Word. It's wonderful for walking with God after we've received eternal life, but it's never going to empower you or equip you if you have not received that eternal life. We must receive Christ. And once we have, study His Word, then it comes alive. Then things transform and change in you and me. So as we close, I want us to look quickly at the third secret to obedient living, and it's simply this. Jesus was surrendered in his heart to the learning process. Even though he was the Son of God, he learned obedience through the things which he had to suffer. You remember that time he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he knows what's coming that night and he knows what's going to be happening the next day. And he is pleading with his Father, Lord, if it's at all possible, could you cause this whole thing to pass? Is there another way? He knew the pain that was coming. Not just the physical pain, he knew the pain of, for the first time in all of eternity, carrying sin on himself. He knew the pain of his Father's judgment, which was about to come. The pain of separation from his Father for the first time in all of eternity. He knew that was all coming. Father, is there any way that this could pass in my life? How many times have you prayed that to the Lord? Lord, this hurts. Is there any way that this could pass? And in the end he said, Father, not my will, but yours. And for the joy set out before him, which was to rescue us and bring us into fellowship with God, he went through the pain. Even though he was the Son of God, he learned obedience through what he, what? Suffered. Suffering is a part of God's plan for your life. It was for Jesus, who is perfect, and it certainly is for us who are not. The question is, will we learn from it? Often I hear us, and I ask it myself, what's the lesson here, Lord? Because I'm sick of the suffering. And why is it that I can't have one single year in my life that's mapped out with just blessing and no suffering? Because God is teaching us obedience. And there is no other way. Even Jesus, though he was the Son of God, learned obedience through his suffering. Jesus had a surrendered heart. Jesus was a student who was willing to live out what he's learned. And wow, what a model he's become for us. I hope that he's the one that you reach out to and say, I want to be like you. Not like the Hollywood heroes. Not like the music video heroes. I want to be like Jesus. Sometimes I listen to CBC Radio too. They have performance artists on there hosting their shows once in a while, and it's interesting. They often reminisce about all of the people who influenced them to become such great cellists or flautists or opera singers or jazz players. Like one of my favorite here is Diana Krall down there in the corner. They didn't just stumble into that. They had surrendered hearts to the discipline of what they loved. Are we like that? And I love Jesus so much that I have a surrendered heart to the discipline that he's teaching me. The only way these guys up here, Gretzky and all of them, get to be so good at what they're doing is by learning from the very best, surrendering their time and their effort into learning the process, learning the discipline with another person. And the Bible says that for you and me, that other person is Jesus Christ. Come and follow me, Jesus said. Because when we aren't willing to live out what we've learned, we just become noisy gongs. We become dead branches that are only good for the discard pile. I don't want to be a discard. Do you? What are you suffering right now? And are you willing to surrender to that process and say, Father, I hate this, but I know you're using it to shape me and teach me obedience. Don't just listen to God's word, James said. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then what? God will bless you for doing it. God will bless you for doing it. Jesus reflected the glory of God in all of his perfection. Why? Because he was in constant communion with his Father. He studied the Word and knew it inside out. And because he had a heart that was surrendered to the process and the will of his Holy Father. And God said about his Son, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. I want that to be words of blessing over my life. This is my Son, and I'm pleased with him. And I want him to influence people for me. Listen to him. Like Hezekiah, Jesus did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything. He carefully obeyed all the commands the Lord had given Moses. And so the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah was successful in everything that he did. Let's pray. Father, I doubt there's a single person sitting here today that hasn't experienced some sort of suffering lately. We hate it, but we understand from your word that this is the process that you use to teach us obedience to you, so that we might be molded and shaped into your character, so that we might discard those things that rise to the top when the heat is applied. Because you're trying to refine us like gold. And when the heat is on the gold, we know that the impurities rise to the top. And we can simply raise them up and say, Lord, here they are. Help us to get rid of these things in our life. They've risen up in me again because the heat is on. Lord, I want to be faithful to you. I want to please you. Would you take these things, scoop them out of my life, discard them, and keep me and continue to purify me in my life? And so, Lord, I surrender to the suffering. I'm willing to embrace it and say, this has been hard. This really hurts. I know it may not stop for a while, but I understand that you are purifying me in my faith so that I might be obedient to you in everything. And be a model of righteousness and grace, just like Jesus was. God, would you make us those kinds of people? As hard as it sometimes is. We ask you to search our hearts even now. And if you've identified something there right at this moment, we raise it up to you and say, Lord, we thank you that you died for this, that it's been smeared all over you. It still seems to come up in my life. I just lift it to you and say, take it, Lord, remove it from me. I want to be clean. I want to be holy. I want to be obedient to you because I love you. And I see what you're like. And I want to be like that. So cleanse us, Lord, and purify us. And teach us this lesson that Jesus lived. That even though he was the Son, he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. May that be our testimony too. I pray it in his wonderful and precious name. Amen.